Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see so many people here. People who have only been here a couple of times, who are members of the church family. I hope you will wear your name tags. I see many of them on, just so I can call you by name and know who you are. There are a bunch of announcements. The first, of course, is to let you know that this is the First Congregational Church of Natick. And in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of this congregation, I would like to welcome you here and let you know that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. It's a pleasure this morning to welcome Elizabeth Garrigan Byerly. She is addressed by Reverend Liz. Here's my little kids' message about Liz's presence with us. Some of you may know that Karenell and I adopted our children in Russia, and so the Russian people are very important to us. And when we went to Russia, we got these matryoshkas. Oh, here it is. So here's the littlest, matryoshka is Russian for nesting doll, and here's the littlest itty bitty baby. And this small one to me represents this church. And the United Church of Christ, we say the basic unit of the church is the local church. So we have that. As the local church, we are part of the Central Association. So we fit in there. The little itty bitty baby is us. And then we're part of the association. And then the association fits in to the conference. And then the conference fits in to the national church. And then the national church is part of, as we say, the church universal, every time and everywhere. That's my kids' message about Reverend Liz's presence. The next slide, whoever's sliding. Oh, we're not there yet. I guess we are. For those of you who are at home worshiping with us online, in a moment or two, we will light the Christ candle. And so we invite you at this time to go get a candle so that you may light one with us. Prayer requests this morning can be emailed to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. I believe there's pieces of paper in the pews. You may write it on that and hand it to an usher. The usher will hand it to me and we'll include it in the prayer time this morning. The other way to do it is to text it to my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250, and it will come up here. Even if you're in the congregation, feel free to do that. The post-worship fellowship will gather downstairs in the vestry to have a snack or two and maybe a hot beverage today and greet one another. I would love to meet everybody in the congregation, whether that's after worship or coming out to your home for a cold beverage, inside or outside, whatever is best for you, or in the church office, or however that might be. Please feel free to call me or text me to set that up. I'm generally in the office on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I'd love to meet you there. Just call to make sure I don't have another appointment. The choir, and Tom is always looking for new members, so please think about joining them, even if it's just for a day, to see how that works out. The First Congregational Church Dream Catchers is an exciting group, and there is a church-wide survey, their first huge announcement and step forward. There's a church-wide survey, and the link is printed in your bulletin or online. And I encourage everybody, both here and who are worshiping with us online, to fill out that survey, because if we don't get everybody's participation, the search process won't be as faithful and as effective as it might be. Wednesday night, pub theology has been renamed to tent theology, and we will gather out in the tent by the parking lot. It will be facilitated by the Dream Catchers, looking to gather information as they prepare to solicit information from everybody here to do the profile. We have an opening here at the church for a church administrator. Randall is doing it effectively during the interim time, and we need a permanent position. So if anybody knows of anybody, please have them be in contact with me and beat the bushes to get people. The Pharmathon has been rescheduled to June 4th. Solidarity and service. It works to do some local service, but to raise money for our mission partners in Santa Maria Zeja, Guatemala. And the regathering in the garden and planting pollinator plants, is that the right term? Will be June 5th after worship. I think I got it. Yes, I did. So, this morning, like all mornings, we take just a moment at the beginning of the service to light the Christ candle, to invoke God's presence and invoke Jesus Christ's presence among us, to remember the words in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," and to remind us about God's call on our life to take that life out the doors and into the streets. Janine?
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We live in uncertain times. Yes, we still shout out to God songs of great joy. We live in uncertain times. Yes, we know God created us for such a time. We live in uncertain times. Yes, God has called us to ministry of hope and love. We live in uncertain times. Let us praise God's name and serve God joyfully.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Loving God, who sends us out into the world as disciples, prepare our hearts and minds to hear, to feel, and to know you more deeply in this hour. In this moment, we desire to connect with you, connect with ourselves, and connect with others more intimately, so that we may muster up courage to follow in your ways, in the path of Jesus, who is ascended. Let us walk more humbly with you as we strive to be the hands and feet of Christ on earth. Arise in us, O God, so that when the world sees us, they really see you. Now, let us worship in spirit and truth for the sake of justice and mercy. Amen.
There are as many opinions about masking and social distancing as there are people here. Keeping that in mind and respecting all of those differences, let's take a moment to share the peace of Christ with each other. The peace of Christ be with you all. It's an exciting morning here at the church. We celebrate the young people who are here as they come of age and move from childhood into teenhood on their way to their journey towards adulthood. The candidates will now be presented.
All right. I present to you Catherine Dubois. Catherine's parents are Rick and Gretchen Dubois. I present to you Miles Gilkes. Miles's parents are Janice Gilkes and Ray Gilkes. I present to you Emma and Ryan McElhaney. Ryan and Emma's parents are Mike and Beth McElhaney. I present to you Ryan Malloy. Ryan's parents are Ryan Sr. and Rhonda Malloy. I present to you Benji Porter. Benji's parents are Tim and Diana Porter. I present to you Kaylee Toy. Kaylee's parents are Trish and Chuck Toy. I present to you Sam Van Giel. Sam's parents are Beth Canterbury and Tap Van Giel. And I present to you Gavin Weddle. Gavin's parents are Christine and Dan Weddle. Just before we get started, I want to tell you we had a fabulous breakfast with this group this morning with their parents and some grandparents and younger siblings, and it was a lovely community. It was wonderful to gather again in person with such a joyful group of people and just look at these fabulous young people. So thank you. You can take it away. Oh, actually, I do have one more thing to say. So I'm speaking to the young people now. I am honored to serve as one of the leaders of this class. These who stand before you have grown beyond childhood and are now ready to be recognized as teens. Some of them have been there for a while because of the pandemic. They are prepared and ready to begin the journey to adulthood, and we are pleased. Okay.
Thank you. My turn?
Yes.
To my new friends, many of whom I just met this morning across the room, I want to remind you that you are called into partnership with God to share in the power of creation. Today, we celebrate that you have come of age, some just recently and some through the pandemic and others before the pandemic. You are blessed, as we heard this morning, with the ability to create new ideas, new thoughts, new hopes for the world, and indeed even to create a new life and a new world. This is God's gift and God's challenge for you. Everybody here prays that you will use those gifts wisely. And I invite the parents to stand. When Mary and Joseph searched for Jesus and found him in the temple talking with the elders with such confidence, they realized that Jesus was no longer a child. This is such a moment for you as parents. We rejoice with you as we recognize your youth as teens, and we promise to support you as they begin their journey to adulthood. That may be a little rocky. Shall we pray together? God of mercy and love, strengthen and uphold these parents as they support their youth. Remind them that they can neither walk the journey for their teen nor shield them from their pain. See them all safely through this journey so that one day they may stand together as adults and friends. Amen. And those that are standing, I invite you to recite the promise of the parents. Would everybody rise in body or spirit, please?
Because none of us do this alone, and so we, the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ, and we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's work in the world. Will you, as a community of faith, which spans the generations, share your knowledge, experience, and love with these young people as they begin their journey to adulthood? We will stand behind you on your journey. You are unique expressions of the creative power of God. God is calling you. Explore, ask, claim, and embrace. You are holy and wonderful and blessed, and we won't look away from you. We are your church family, and we support you on this journey.
I invite the parents to come forward and stand behind your child or children. To the young people, you'll notice everybody, the parents have their hands on their children's shoulder as much as they hate it. The young people hate it. Everybody in the congregation has blessing hands. I'd ask you, if you feel comfortable, to hold out your hands of blessing. Friends, you are the youth of this church family. You have an important responsibility that no one else can carry out. You are their peers and fellow travelers. They will need friends who are willing to stand by them. Will you promise to be there for them and be their friends, knowing that there will be times when your support means more to them than any other? Did I mess that up, Sarah Lynn? I messed that up. I'm sorry. Will the youth please stand? You are proxy for the youth of the church. On their behalf, will you please recite the promise? May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy.
Amen.
May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and never-failing friend, make you strong in faith and defend you on every side.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace.
Amen. Amen.
And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest upon you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
I have messed up more things in this than I want broadcast on TV. Kaylee, there you are. I heard about you this morning that you're taking ownership and responsibility for your own life and growth, and further, you're a great baker. Miles. Where's Miles? You are an amazing being. Kind, thoughtful. I love this one. And you attack life with joy. Catherine, we worked together to put up the tent. So I know these characteristics describe you: tenacious, courageous, and speak your own mind. Brian McElhaney. There you are. I don't know why you're kind, respectful, and curious. It's that curiosity that will make you grow into full discipleship. And Emma McElhaney, I heard your dad say of both of you, I thought this was just great, that you treat others with kindness, even when it's not in your best interest. And Ryan Malloy has a positive attitude, intelligent and respectful, and a great lesson that he can teach us all, that it's okay not to be perfect. Benjamin Porter taught me the importance to have confidence when speaking out and continue to ask questions throughout your life. Sam Van Giel, curiosity, open-heartedness, loving, and affectionate. It was so great to hear these characteristics of the young people. And Gavin, an unassuming, caring young man, again, the basis of faithful discipleship. And now, do they go back and the kids go to godly play?
They go and join their youth partners.
And yes, the even younger people head off to godly play. They look thrilled to be here, don't they? As the young people of the church continually teach us, we believe in the God of justice and righteousness. And God believes in us to carry forth the mission of loving and caring for this community. So I invite you now to share your gifts and resources so that we may continue to walk humbly with God and with our neighbors. You may send your contribution to the church by mail. You may place it in the offering plate at either door. You may use this QR code, which brings you right to the website. As we remember God's call on our life, let us continue to worship God with our offerings. Thank you. Let's pray together. For the wondrous ways this offering will bless this community and the world, we dedicate these gifts. For the ways it'll help us be witnesses to God's love and compassion, we dedicate these gifts. Let this offering and the works of our hands and feet give power to all we stand for as a community of faith. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, First Congregational Church of Natick. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday. I bring you greetings from the Reverend Darrell Goodwin, who is our Executive Conference Minister in one of those nests at the conference level, from all of my colleagues in the Southern New England Conference, from the board of the conference and the board of the association. All of these names are not just organizations, but they represent people who share your passion for the love and justice of Jesus, who pray for you and partner with you in ministry. And I want to thank you for doing the same with the rest of the body of Christ, for your faithful partnering, for your giving to proportional giving, and all the ways that you pray and partner with us in ministry. It is so good to be part of the body of Christ with you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the very first chapter of the book of Acts. Acts was written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote it as a continuation where the Gospel of Luke told the stories of Jesus' ministry. The book of Acts tells the stories of the ministries of the body of Christ, the church, as it transitions from Jesus being present with us on earth to not being present with us. And we're in this time between Easter and Pentecost. So Easter, when Jesus was resurrected, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. We call this Ascension, when Jesus is raised up into the heavens. And you're going to hear that part of the story, but I'm really focused and curious about what it was like to be the disciples in this in-between time. Because in so many ways, we all feel like we are living in this in-between time. So listen for the word of God speaking to you. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive to the disciples by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promises of their Creator. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had all come together, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, is this the time you're going to bring about the kingdom of Israel? But Jesus said, it is not for you to know the time or the period that God has set by God's own authority. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, while the disciples were looking to him, Jesus was suddenly lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards the heaven, suddenly two men in white robes came to them and said, People of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven is the same one who will come again and be among you. God's word for God's people. Nothing was the same as it had been. Nothing that was now was for the disciples. And nothing was as they expected it. Nothing was clear. It was as if their whole world had been this beautiful piece of pottery that had shattered just a few weeks before when Jesus died. And still deep in their grief 3 days after his death, when they learned of his resurrection, it was as if they had found the shards scattered at their feet. Now they were trying to piece them back together, to make some sense of a coherent world again. But some of the shards had changed shape completely. Others were lost. Still others only fit back together next to shards they had not been with before. Nothing was the same. We might feel like saying the same thing about our lives today. Nothing, or at least most things, do not feel like the same way they were before. Nothing is as we expected it. Even a month ago, it hasn't been as expected as we expected it to be this week. And nothing feels very clear. Through these last few years of multiple pandemics, our worlds have been shattered and shattered again, and we are still here trying to pick up the pieces and see how they fit back together. For you, these times have intersected with a pastoral transition, perhaps making it feel even more disorienting. Oh, for certain, life has gone on, hasn't it? The coming of age celebration that we had this morning is a testament to that. No matter how much uncertainty you have faced, no matter how much your worlds have shattered, you have continued to grow. Your families have continued to support you. This church has continued to be here for you. We have laughed and cried together. We have breathed and sighed and prayed together. We have served faithfully together. We have grown in faith together. And yet it still feels uncertain. How do we live with so much uncertainty? What is the most faithful thing we can do when we find ourselves with these shattered pieces in our hands? What would Jesus have us do? Wait here, Jesus told his disciples. Wait here for the promise that will come from our Creator. Wait here for the Holy Spirit, which I promise will baptize you. Wait here to receive the power that will propel you to be my witnesses. Wait here. What does it mean to wait? To stay put, to pause, to remain stationary in readiness or expectation, to look forward expectantly, or to hold back expectantly. These are just some of the definitions given by the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and they show us how diverse this one word is. For the sake of simplicity, I want us to consider two types of waiting: static waiting and active waiting. I think static waiting is the kind we most often think about when we hear this word. Take a look at this image. It seems like the people are waiting in line for something, such a long line that it snakes at least two times and probably goes around the corner at the end of the block. They have suspended all other activities in their life to wait for whatever it is at the end of this line. Now, static waiting is not wrong or bad. Sometimes it is exactly what is necessary. Last week, I was volunteering at my daughter's elementary school helping 50 fifth graders prepare for a talent show. Now, I am not a public school teacher, and I'm not used to that level of energy and noise and chaos. And so as they were preparing to go to another room, lining up at the door of the library, I said to them, "Wait here." And I meant freeze. Don't move until I tell you to go. That freeze reaction, that static kind of waiting, is natural. It's important at certain times. And it's a natural response, especially in the face of trauma or shock. After Jesus told the disciples to wait, clouds suddenly surrounded him and lifted him up into the heavens. And the disciples were shocked, and they stood gaping, staring up, wondering at what had happened, frozen in time. But that is not the kind of waiting Jesus wanted them to do. So two angels came and appeared to them and basically told them to knock it off. It broke them from their paralysis, and they returned to the kind of waiting Jesus instructed them to undertake. So what did Jesus mean? The active kind of waiting. The Greek word used in this text is perimeno, that root word meno meaning remain or abide, and the prefix peri meaning all around. This is the only place in the Bible where this intensifying prefix is used. And together, the word means stay steady, regardless of the obstacles involved. Wait here, Jesus said to the disciples, and that is just what they did. They remained together in Jerusalem, where over 100 other followers of Jesus were gathered together. From among that group, they appointed another to take Judas's place, and they continued to lead. They prayed together. They cared for one another. They studied scripture. They lived together as Jesus taught them to. They stayed steady, regardless of the obstacles involved. And so have you, First Church of Natick. You have not let the obstacles of COVID or the turbulent public landscape or even volunteer fatigue deter you from being the body of Christ. You have waited by shifting your worship practices so that the most number of people can safely worship. You have waited by continuing to work for the flourishing of the unhoused and underhoused, right here in Natick and in West Virginia. You have waited by being a prophetic voice on the opioid pandemic, on racism and white supremacy, on the rights of the immigrants and the environmental crisis. You have waited by discerning how this building can serve your mission more effectively and moving forward with a capital campaign in a time of deep uncertainty. You have stayed steady, church. Thanks be to God. As I said in the intro to the scripture, 10 days after the ascension comes this moment of Pentecost. Here's how we often think of this in-between time between Easter and Pentecost, or really ascension and Pentecost. Jesus left the disciples, and so they huddled together in a closed room, suspended in animation until the Holy Spirit came. And then with those tongues of fire and whipping winds, they were animated once again. And crowds flocked to them, and the church was born. I have been part of some pretty wildly creative Pentecost moments in worship. Maybe you've had some like that here too. They are some of my favorite when we try to recreate that sense of awe and ecstasy of mystical experience. One year, we even tied 100 red balloons behind the chancel, and at one point in worship, they all popped up to great oohs and ahs, not just of children, but of adults alike. It was a powerful moment. But now, years on, I wonder if it was a bit of a setup. Because it communicates that we will always experience the Holy Spirit in some crystal clear Hollywood blockbuster moment of revelation and transformation. And until it happens, we better stay static. But the biblical story tells us something different. Yes, there was a mystical, spectacular moment, but it came while the disciples were already doing what Jesus had asked them to do. And while the Holy Spirit continued to remain with them, it was not with tongues of fire and whipping wind, but rather the subtle steadiness that they already knew through Jesus. Here is the other trap I often hear the church fall into when thinking about Pentecost and the early disciples. Well, those early disciples, they could be bold because they frankly didn't have much to lose. We In this modern era, we have a lot more to lose than they did, so we better be more cautious. It is true that the disciples had already lost a great deal. They had lost Jesus twice. They had lost their livelihoods and their lives before they knew him, some of them probably even losing their families. But perhaps more importantly, they had more to lose by not staying steady. The faith and hope they had discovered with Jesus, their deep sense of belonging, the unconditional love and reconciliation and grace they knew in Christian community, this new meaning and purpose for their lives. One of the things that keeps the church static, in static waiting, is this sense that we have so much to lose. No matter what the cause or purpose, every institution runs into this. The struggle between prioritizing its own maintenance and survival with its mission. And the Christian church is not immune, no matter which level of the nest we are looking at. We have buildings and memorial funds to take care of, entrusted to us by previous generations, and so we have their own legacy to be responsible for. We have our history and our legacy. We have our place in society. We have what each of us is comfortable with. It's a lot to lose. Better to play it safe and cautiously, we think. That's what's most faithful. But I wonder what we might lose by choosing static waiting instead of active waiting. Might we lose the very things that were so precious to the early church and indeed are still so precious to us? The faith and hope we have found in Jesus. The deep sense of belonging, no matter what stage of life or faith we find ourselves in this Christian community. The experience of unconditional love, of reconciliation and grace, the meaning and purpose that this faith gives us. You, First Church of Natick, have remained steady, regardless of the obstacles involved. See these images of the ways you have remained steady. What a testament. What a testament to the movement of the Holy Spirit among you, whether there were tongues of fire and whipping winds, or just that subtle steadiness that you have surely known. This is my prayer for you, that you will not fall into static waiting as you search for a settled pastor. That your commitment to transforming this building into a 21st century hub of mission does not morph into institutional preservation. That you, youth, undertake your pilgrimage, as you undertake your pilgrimage, that you find beauty and faith in hope in the non-blockbuster moments. That you, church, continue to remain steady, regardless of whatever challenges arise, regardless of the uncertainties that continue to be our shared reality, regardless of what the world tells you to lose, you might lose, because we know what we want to hold on to. So what are we waiting for? Amen.
As we enter this time of prayer, would you please hold on your hearts all those who are listed on the prayer list in the bulletin? The ministry of Reverend Liz and the wider church the people of Ukraine and the people of Russia and the people of surrounding countries that have welcomed the Ukrainian citizens. The Hannahs, Doug and Sarah's niece, Jen, her husband, Chris, and their newborn daughter, Sophie, who have had complications very early on. For the more than 1 million people in this country who have died of COVID, and more than 6.26 million worldwide. Are there other prayers, concerns, joys, celebrations that people here would name?
I have a celebration. Benji's mom, Diana Porter, is in London for a screening of her film, the Sci-Fi Film Festival.
Benji's mother is in London for a screening of her film. Prayers for your sister-in-law and all who loved her as she has entered her glory.
Yes.
And for Hobo, the cat, as we wait for blood tests.
It's been a rough week.
It certainly sounds it. And your son's name?
Miles.
Celebrations as Miles graduates from high school. And again, please hold on your heart and in your prayers, Jen and Craig. Jen just received a terrible cancer diagnosis and has a short time to live. Others? Dee Dee? Prayers for Dee Dee's cousin Ron, who asked for these prayers as he entered the final stages of hospice. Great. So prayers for smooth transitions for your 90-year-old aunt. From Janet Levesque. Prayers of remembrance for Marjorie Yandow. Marge was Janet's sister-in-law, Deb Bishop's mother, and she died peacefully on Sunday. Did I get that right? Prayers of hope for Faye Bishop, Janet's mother, as she transitions to a new living situation. Congratulations to all of the young people making their way in the journey to adulthood. And finally, prayers for discernment for the Dream Catchers team as we meet with Reverend Liz this afternoon and continue our work on the settled pastor profile. Would you please join your hearts with mine in prayer as we pray these words of Ted Loader. Thank you for all I forget are gifts, not rights. Forgive me for all the grievances I remember too well. Save me from the self-pity, the self-seeking, the fat-heartedness, which is true poverty. Guide me if I'm willing. Drive me if I'm not, into the hard ways of sacrifice which are just and loving. Make me wide-eyed for beauty and for my neighbor's need and goodness, wide-willed for peacemaking and for the confronting power with the call to compassion, wide-hearted for love, and for the unloved, who are the hardest to touch and need it the most. Dull the envy in me, which criticizes and complains life into a thousand ugly shards. Keep me honest and tender enough to heal, tough enough to be healed of my hypocrisies. Match my appetite for privilege with the stomach of commitment. Teach me the great cost of paying attention, that naked to the dazzle of your back as you pass, I may know I am always on holy ground. Breathe into me the restlessness and courage to make something new, something saving, something true, that I may understand what it is to rejoice. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who prays with us when we say, Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Tom, just one second. I want to remind people, encourage people, implore that you find that link to the survey and fill it out so that all your voices can be heard in the preparation of the church's local church profile. Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
This benediction from our celebration earlier was so moving, I want to use it again, and I just invite you to give a resounding amen or amen after each sentence. May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy.
Amen. Amen.
May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and never-failing friend, make you strong in the faith and defend you on every side.
Amen. Amen.
May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace. Amen. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest upon you this day and forevermore. Amen, amen and amen.